Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. If you are a Bible student, or if you have thought seriously about the existence of evil, you know Satan is a reality. How else can you explain the enormous amount of violence, sexual deviance, rape, and murder in our world? There must be some kind of power behind all of this immorality and rebellion. Jesus left absolutely no doubt about Satan's existence and about his intentions. Christ calls Satan the prince of this world. John 12:31. Earlier in the book of John, Jesus had referred to Satan as a murderer, as a liar, and as the father of lies. John 8:44. Jesus said on one occasion that the wicked would be cast into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 12:41. I can understand from a purely human viewpoint why certain individuals would choose not to believe in the devil. If what Jesus said about the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels is true, and my friends, you can depend on it, then some would prefer to deny Satan's existence or to act as if he did not exist. What I cannot understand is how anyone, whether or not he believes in a personal devil, could be a part of what is called in modern times Satanism or devil worship. But there are thousands of young people in America, and some older ones, who claim to be Satan worshipers. The examples I'm about to give you are not very pleasant to contemplate, but they are true and need to be discussed. David St. Clair's book, Say You Love Satan, tells of three teenage boys from Northport, New York, Ricky Casso, Jimmy Troiano, and Gary Lowers, who had become involved with drugs and other illegal activities. They smoked pot in wooded areas around Northport. They also engaged in magic and in other New Age activities. Ricky Casso had begun to smoke marijuana in the fifth grade. On one occasion, Ricky went into the public library in Northport. One book in particular caught his attention, A History of Satanism. He took note of other books on either side of that book. Those books had such titles as The Devil, History of Witchcraft, Demons and Possession, Spells, Magic, and Incantations. While not a good student or an avid reader, he was spellbound by these books. Later, Rick has said to his friend Jimmy Troiano, "It was the weirdest thing. Here I am reading all these things about Satan and the devil and hell and all that, and yet it was like I already knew what I was reading." You understand what I'm saying? Page 47. Ricky Casso visited a New Age bookstore where he found books on astrology, tarot cards, and magic potions. He picked up a copy of Anton Zandor LaVey's Satanic Bible. David St. Clair said that Ricky would read a paragraph or two, take a puff, close his eyes, and turn the printed words into pictures. Page 51. The Satanic Bible made a deep impression on Ricky Casso. He felt it put him in touch with Satan and that he was somebody. He had power. He had Satan. Ricky's favorite musical group was Black Sabbath with Ozzy Osbourne. Ricky continually talked about Satan. He was also using LSD. One of his friends said about Ricky, "He would sit there and talk to the devil. I mean, he was of the devil. And when he was high, he really believed the devil could hear him. He'd sit there with those big eyes of his and say things like, 'Satan, you're my main man. I really love you, Satan. I really need you in my life. Without you, life has no meaning.'" Page 139. According to his friend, Ricky Casso would take the guitar and sing, "I'm a child of the devil, just a child of the devil. You know I'm on the level, 'cause I'm a child of the devil." Ricky Casso claimed that his friend Gary Lowers owed him $50. he insisted that Gary pay him. When Gary could not or did not pay, Ricky took a long knife and plunged it into Gary Lauer's body. As he drew the knife from his young friend's body and started to hit him again, he said to Gary, "Say you love Satan." Gary yelled, "No, I love my mother. I don't love Satan. I love my mother." Ricky continued to plunge the knife into Gary's body until the young man died. Ricky and Jimmy Troiano dragged Gary's body into the woods and buried him in a shallow grave. While this gory business was in progress, Ricky heard a crow overhead. He turned to Jimmy Troiano and said, "Satan's with us. The crow is a sign. Satan approves of what we have done in his name. I did it. I made my first sacrifice to Satan." Pages 241 through 244. Ricky Casso and Jimmy Troiano were apprehended by the law and sent to prison. Ricky Casso hanged himself in his jail cell. David St. Clair made these disturbing comments. The Cassos identified their son's body. Ricky was taken to a funeral home in East Northport where he was cremated. There were no members of his family there. There was no service. No one said anything over his body. He had neither a Christian nor a satanic ceremony. The ashes sat unclaimed. Pages 330 and 332. If you have a hard time understanding such moral insensitivity and brutality, let me give you another piece of information which should be shocking. One real estate agent complained of the satanic slaying of Gary Lauer's because it had lowered property values for a while. That was the worst thing about all of this. It hurt property values. Page 13. And then we wonder why so many of our young people go astray and destroy themselves. That real estate agent was almost certainly not a Satan worshiper, but he or she was doing the bidding of Satan. How absolutely incomprehensible. I do not want to horrify you with these stories of satanic brutality, but we must know that the killing of Gary Lauer's was not an isolated incident. Satanic sacrifices are occurring all over the United States and throughout the world. Jerry Johnston's book, The Edge of Evil, The Rise of Satanism in North America, gives the following startling information about Satanism. Animal mutilations increase among occult groups. The animal is decapitated and left in a ritual position, says Orange County, California, Animal Control Chief Ron Hudson. Usually officers will find the front feet cut off because they are used by Satan to walk the earth. Page 13. Ritualistic mutilation of animals is occurring all across this great country. Farmers in the state of Missouri have reported numerous cases of animal mutilation. But Missouri is not the only state which has problems with Satan worshipers. A 15-year-old runaway, Teresa Simmons, was strangled by three Georgia ninth graders in what Douglas County Sheriff Earl Lee described as a killing of sex, satanic devil worship, and witchcraft. Page 13. Lawrence Stratford admits on a nationally televised talk show, "As a teenager, I was used as a breeder to have children, and two of them were killed in snuff films." And some theologians have the audacity to argue that what you believe does not matter so long as you're honest. Many of you probably remember the killing of an American medical student, Mark Kilroy. Gary Provost chronicled the killing of this student in a book with the title, The True Story of Satanic Cult Killings in Matamoros, Mexico. Mark Kilroy was a junior in the College of Natural Science at the University of Texas at Austin. He was a 21-year-old intelligent young man who aspired to enter medical school to become a doctor. During spring break in 1989, he and some companions went to Matamoros, Mexico, to enjoy the girls and the booze. A satanic cult kidnapped Mark Kilroy and sacrificed him to Satan. The leader of the group was Adolfo de Jesus Constanzo, a homosexual and a Santerian priest. You may have seen Constanzo on television. The Satanists decapitated Mark Kilroy and buried him in a place where they had buried 16 or 17 other victims of their satanic brutality. When they buried Kilroy, they left one end of a wire attached to his spinal column, so that when his body decomposed, members of the cult could pull out the vertebra to make it into a necklace. Page 83. The Santerian religion, of which the Satanists in Mexico were members, apparently had its origins in the ancient African religion of Nigeria's Yoruban people. The word Santeria means the worship of saints. One of the Yoruban deities was often mentioned in the Desi Arnaz and Lucy show on television. The Santerians engage in virtually every occult practice you can imagine, and some you probably cannot, such as divination, sorcery, witchcraft, both black and white, voodoo, and others. Pages 94 and 95. Provost says that Santeria is a curious mixture of the magic rites of the Yorubas and their traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. You can do anything in Santeria, and then you can cleanse yourselves. Pages 97 and 102. The Santeria religion does not recognize any difference between good and evil. The members of the Matamoros cult believe that if they made human sacrifices, the gods would protect their drug smuggling operation and protect them from the police. They said that they thought bullets would not hit them if they made the sacrifices. Page 129. The sacrifices did not protect the cult members. Jesus Constanzo and several of his confederates were shot to death by the police. Gary Provost also mentions two other well-known incidents involving Satan worshipers. Sean Sellers from Oklahoma City, the youngest person ever to sit on death row in Oklahoma, committed three murders in the name of Satan. He walked into his mother's bedroom and shot her and his stepfather to death in the name of Satan. Page 185. Self-styled Satanist Richard Ramirez, known as the Night Stalker, murdered several Californians in their home, then mutilated their bodies and spray-painted satanic symbols on their walls. Page 186. Virtually all of you who are 30 or over remember the Son of Sam scare in New York City. Maury Terry's book, The Ultimate Evil, is an investigation into a dangerous satanic cult. David Berkowitz was arrested for the Son of Sam murder in New York. Surrounding his arrest, it was discovered that a network of Satan-worshipping cults crisscrossed the United States. There is hardly any doubt that David Berkowitz was a Satan-worshipper and had connections with many murders across the United States. Susan Atkins was one of the young women involved in the Charles Manson slayings, including the brutal murder of the movie star Sharon Tate. Susan Atkins with Bob Schlosser wrote an account of the Manson gang, Child of Satan, Child of God, her own story. Charles Manson was involved with every kind of evil known to man, beverage alcohol, all other kinds of drugs, Satanism, reincarnation, Scientology, Buddhism, and the other Eastern religions. He explained to his so-called family, "There is no such thing as evil. Everything you see is an illusion, a figment of your imagination. You create the world you live in." Page 132. I wonder now if he thinks he created the prison in which he lives. The Tennessean, Saturday, February the 5th, 1994, published an article entitled, "Spared Death, Not Prison." Lord Miskelly Jr. was found guilty in the death of Michael Moore, one of the 3 8-year-old boys killed in Arkansas in 1993. Miskelly was sentenced to life imprisonment plus 40 years. The Tennessean said, "Prosecutors have suggested that the defendants were all members of a satanic cult and that the killings were ritualistic, though no evidence of that was introduced during Miss Kelly's trial. Pages 1A and 2A. After examining some gruesome satanic killings, it is in order to ask, what is Satanism? Gary Provost's book, The True Story of the Satanic Cult Killings in Matamoros, Mexico, mentions the founding of the Church of Satan in 1966 by Anton LaVey. LaVey's goal, he says, is to present a set of rational beliefs while meeting man's need for ritual. When he is accused of worshiping non-existent deities, he agrees and adds that all deities are non-existent. Pages 190 and 191. Though LaVey does not believe in the Satan of the New Testament and admits that Satan is merely a symbol, he does invoke the name in the nine statements that can be found in his 1969 occult bestseller, The Satanic Bible. Anton Zandor, LaVey's book, The Satanic Bible, lists nine doctrinal statements which undergird the Church of Satan. They are called nine satanic statements. Page 25. Please listen to these and compare them with the truth of God's holy book. First, Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. Does that statement of satanic beliefs give you some insight into the cruel and brutal acts of Charles Manson, David Berkowitz, and other Satan worshippers? Can you understand why this church is so dangerous, especially in the lives of troubled young people like Ricky Casso and Jimmy Troiano? Second, Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. Satan has always encouraged those who would listen that God somehow is shortchanging man. Satan said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, "For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Genesis 3:5. Satan pretends that he is seeking our welfare and does not want us to miss out on any of life's pleasures. He says, in effect, enjoy life now as if there were no tomorrow, which is true. Anton LaVey is leading boys and girls into a deadly trap, deadly not only for this world, but for the world which is to come. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, whatever LaVey and other Satanists teach. Third, Satan represents undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-deceit. Let us suppose, just for the sake of argument, that LaVey is correct. In the long run, what difference does it make? But LaVey could not be more wrong if he tried. The little book of James informs us about LaVey's alleged wisdom. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. James 3:15 and 16. Confusion and every evil work have certainly followed in the wake of Satanism. But worse is coming, eternal condemnation. Fourth, Satan represents kindness to those who deserve it, instead of love wasted on ingrates. And who are those who deserve kindness? Fellow Satanists or potential Satanists? Sharon Tate and others the Manson gang murdered apparently did not deserve kindness. Mark Kilroy did not deserve and did not receive any kindness. That men and women have lived through the ages with such a philosophy does not surprise any of us. But it does show the depths of human degradation which is possible. No wonder Satanists actually sacrifice other human beings when they think they can get away with it. Fifth, Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. LaVey, who had played the piano for a church in California, was aware that the doctrinal statements he was promoting were directly opposite to what Jesus had taught. Which of these systems of ethics would be the best for our nation and for a family? One where we turned the other cheek and left vengeance to God Almighty, or one where vengeance was promoted by the people who have the moral values of demons. The real Satan must have great delight in the rantings and ravings of LaVey and his fellow Satanists. 6. Satan represents responsibility to the responsible, instead of concern for psychic vampires. Obviously, Christians are encouraged to draw the line on men and women who will not work. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6-11. We are forbidden to feed those who will not work. But the Satanists have no standard for determining who psychic vampires are, and millions of people would suffer deprivation if the Satanists had their way. If Satanism has demonstrated responsibility toward anyone, it has not been publicized. Satanism is best known for its indulgence in all kinds of indecencies and indiscretions. The word responsibility is just about as appropriate in talking about Satanists as honor is in speaking of Satan himself. 7. Satan represents man as just another animal, sometimes better, more often worse than those that walk on all fours, who, because of his divine spiritual and intellectual development, has become the most vicious animal of all. If man is just another animal, why should anyone object or even mention it when he acts like another animal? When I was back on the farm in Middle Tennessee, we had old sows which ate their little pigs. If human beings are just animals, why should they demonstrate their love for their offspring? What is wrong with a mother's having her little unborn baby cut into millions of pieces if the baby is just another animal? Why not get rid of old people or the handicapped people if they are just animals? Why do we condemn Hitler when millions of our own people behave just as abominably? It is true that human beings are often worse than animals. We have the capacity to develop moral and spiritual values. The animals do not. We know or could know that all kinds of brutality, discrimination, and bigotry are evil. Yet we keep on violating God's law and rebelling against His will. If God does not exist, neither the Satanists nor others have any basis for deciding what cruelty is and whether or not it is wrong. LaVey, as you would expect, has not done much responsible thinking on these vital matters. 8. Satan represents all the so-called sins, as they all lead to physical, mental, and emotional gratification. There would be nothing gained if I were to tell you that there is no pleasure in sin. If there were no pleasure in sin, why would so many human beings destroy their bodies and their souls in their pursuit of sin? The Hebrew writer said concerning Moses, "He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward." Hebrews 11:25-26. One of the key elements in this beautiful passage is the expression, "pleasures of sin for a season." Of course there is pleasure in sin. Probably all kinds of sin. But how long does the pleasure last? The homosexual who is dying of AIDS probably does not believe in the lasting pleasure of sin. The woman whose husband has transmitted genital herpes or gonorrhea or syphilis to her probably would not subscribe to LaVey's morally irresponsible statement about physical, mental, and emotional gratification. 9. Satan has been the best friend the church has ever had and has kept it in business all these years. Satan has been the worst enemy of the church and of all mankind. He has kept millions from obeying the gospel and has turned many away from their faith in Jesus Christ. But his judgment will come, Jesus said, Matthew 25:41. But so will it come to all who have either intentionally followed him, like Anton LaVey or Colonel Michael Aquino, or to those who have been deceived by some of Satan's promises. Anton LaVey takes Christ's Beatitudes from Matthew 5, 3-12, and promotes the very opposite of every one of them. For example, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5:3. LeVay says, "Blessed are the strong, for they shall possess the earth. Cursed are the weak, for they shall inherit the yoke." Page 34. Our Lord said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Matthew 5:5. LeVay says, "Blessed are the bold, for they shall be masters of the world. Cursed are the righteously humble, for they shall be trodden under cloven hoofs." Page 34. There are 11 other statements of similar import, but these should be sufficient to show the evil of Anton LaVey and his church of Satan. Obviously, LaVey does not care, but he is blaspheming the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, his and our Heavenly Father, and God's holy book. He does not care now, but he will care in the judgment. Next Sunday, our lesson will be the roots and fruits of Satanism. We thank you for listening today, and may our Heavenly Father continue to bless you.